Today we had to serve the Lord. Let's take the songs to remember number 6. Turn to number 246 at the top. 246. Let's turn to number 67 at the bottom of the page, number 67.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Fabian. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody out today. We're down a little bit, I think, crowd-wise today, but it's the time of the year in which that people are starting to travel a little bit, and I do know we have some that are traveling today, and I just hope and pray that they have a safe trip is what I will say about it. And Oh yeah, I was going to ask you, did anybody notice anything different about the church house this morning? It looks good, don't it? For you that's coming in this side, it especially shows up the new awnings that we have. They look really good. We appreciate those that put that up for us, the ones that got it done and everything. It's it really turned out well, I think. And you'll be at least when it is raining. Notice I said when it is raining. You'll be able to walk a little bit better, not in the rain, and so that'll be a good thing for us is what it'll be. And so I'm glad that we have that privilege today, and I'm thankful the church is prospering. I hope and pray we prosper in a spiritual way. I'm going to go ahead and tell you about this part here today. We'll do this more in prayer requests, but I asked the people on Wednesday night to do something for me. We've been talking about trying to list the different ones that are unsaved and the ones that we are wanting to get saved. And we had a good service, I thought, Wednesday night, and ended up in prayer meeting as some was wanting to be saved and talked about their grandkids and their kids being saved. So we had a quick, short list of people that were needing to be saved. And so what I'm going to ask you to do today, back a few years ago, I brought my book with me and I would write down each prayer request. And I think I ended up with something like 40 different names that I had on my list at that time. And several of them have been saved since that. Well, this time I'm going to do it a little bit different. And what I'm going to ask you to do is take a piece of paper, a sticky note or something like that, and as individuals call out people's names that are needing to be saved, you add it to your list. You have your own list. Now, what I did with that book that I had of the names back then, I would have time here and I'd come up here pray by myself. You don't have to be in church to pray though, do you? Now what I did was I would come up here with my book and I'd go down that list and I'd pray for them. Now what I'm going to say is I would ask everybody to pray for them from time to time, but I want you to think about something. The Bible tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many of you knows the more that prays, the more happens? So the idea is you make your list and you pray over them individuals, and I believe the Lord will send forth great blessings upon us. And that's what I'm longing for us to see. So it's good for us to be prayerful about those things. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I wanted to pass that along to you. You may not have a piece of paper in your Bible today or something that you can write on, but you make a mental note of the ones that will be mentioned here today that needs prayers. And make you a list, a little short prayer list. It doesn't have to be long. You can make it individual weeks even is what you can do. But I think our church could stand to pray more about the unsaved especially. So let's keep them on our hearts. Now, let's go on and do our children's church at this time. And for those that are new with us today, what we do is we call the kids up and we spend a little bit of time just with them. So kids, let's come right over here today. Come over this way, kids. Thank y'all for coming up. Every single one of you. Thank y'all so much. Now, good morning to all of you. Okay? Now, I was talking about praying, wasn't I? Okay? Who of you prays from time to time? Okay? What do you pray about? I got some looks then, didn't I? What'd you pray about?
My dad has his back is hurt.
Oh. That's good. See, that's something that you all can pray for, whether it's somebody that you maybe know in your family. See, I know some of you, you're kin to different ones in here, and some of them have little problems, you know, sicknesses or something like that. You know, that's a good thing for you to do is just talk to the Lord about those sicknesses. Don't take it for granted that they're going to get well, that their hurt is going to get better. No, I'm bad about that. A lot of times I take it for granted when somebody, you know, has been sick and I don't hear from them for a few days. They must have got better. I ain't heard anything from them. You see, God likes us to talk to Him about different things. And this is one of the things that I want to tell you. You see, back I guess it was last Sunday, if you remember listening, Sister Paula talked about a young man that had a heart attack. He was only 37 years old, and he had a massive heart attack. Well, he actually passed away from that heart attack. Most time we take it for granted that somebody that age, they're going to get well, don't we? We don't even think about them going to have a heart attack or even be that sick. But he passed away. Now, here's the other part of it. We found out Friday that he didn't have a testimony of being saved. You know, we take it for granted that people we know are going to heaven. I don't know if he got saved or not. That's what his wife said. I don't know. Don't take it for granted that when your friends that are not saved, I'm asking you to pray for them, is what I'm trying to ask you to do. Even if it's a sickness that somebody in your family has, Lord, just kind of like this, Lord, help them. Help them to get well. You think about, would you want to miss your grandparents? I'm talking about them leaving or something like that. How about a good friend at school? Would you want to lose them? See, don't take for granted your prayers. Because like I said in Scripture that I quoted a minute ago, the effectual, fervent, that means a loving, warm-hearted prayer, availeth much to God. And you can pray that kind of prayer. With that, I'll say I'll let you go, okay? Thank y'all for coming up. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope the kids got something out of that little talk about prayer. And it's something that we as God's people, so many times, we do take for granted, isn't it? We take for granted the opportunity to pray for somebody. And we say, well, I prayed for them one time, that ought to be enough. You ever been guilty of that? We ought to be, as Paul said, but praying without ceasing. So let's be prayerful one for another. We're glad to see each and every one of you here with us today. We're glad to have our visitors. We've got some new faces with us today. I pray that God will bless them for being with us today, and we thank you for coming and coming to our church today. We ask that each and every one of you be prayerful and that you pray for this service today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Lord, help. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Lord help. Let's do remember Addie in our prayers. They don't attend here anymore, but I pray that something will happen that she'll seek the Lord and be saved. That's one to put on your list, by the way. Somebody else got a prayer request on your heart. Remember that family that I talked to the kids about. Do remember them. There's others in the church that are sick. I'll ask you to remember Brother Lowell and Sister and Brother Sonny, excuse me, and Brother Sonny. They're both over here at NHC in rehab. Do remember both of them in your prayers. Remember their wives. They need your prayers also. Both of them need them greatly. So let's keep those things on our hearts also. Anybody else have a prayer request? Thank you, Sister Sarah. Appreciate that. We enjoyed getting to see him here the other day here at church, and we're glad you're able to be with us today. Let's do remember them in our prayers as the little feller grows and grows. Somebody else got a prayer request or something on your heart? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Good to have y'all today. Good to have y'all down visiting with us today. Let's do remember her request, praying for the lost, praying for our nation. I'm going to miss some of it, so I hope you heard it. But she also, that she would hold on to God's unchanging hand. That's something for all of us to pray for, that we'll hold on to Him. Appreciate this. Somebody else. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Let's all follow the Lord in this service, and let's ask God just to give us a great big blessing today in this service. Let's ask God to come and bless is what we need. And if it's the Lord's will that I stand to preach today, I hope you'll pray that the Lord will lead me in this message today. We feel like calling on one to start our prayer, but we want you all to pray in your own way. Whether you pray out loud or quietly, you just pray is the main thing. Brother Tom, I feel like you are to lead us in prayer this morning.
We'll continue with our song service. Let's turn to number 148. 148.
Thank you.
For our last congregational number, let's turn to number 112. 112.
Thank you, choir. Again, good morning to everyone. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning before we go any further? We should always follow what the Lord impresses upon us. And that if the Lord is impressing us to speak a word, maybe it's a word of encouragement, maybe it's a prayer request, maybe it's just a word of glory unto the Lord, let us follow Him. And I believe that God uses us as His people to speak out words. And some people may say, well, I don't like to speak out in public. But if you agree with what is being taught here, it verifies what's being taught here. And so that's a good thing for us to do, is to verify the goodness of God especially. Anybody got anything on your heart? Going to take a reading lesson today from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. If you have your Bible, I asked you to turn there. I've got a lengthy reading lesson, longer than I like to read for a reading lesson, but I thought I was going to read the entire chapter, but I think that's gotten shortened down. So I asked you to be prayerful for us today. This message today, when I came across this, I thought, well, it was going a particular direction, but the more I've studied, it seems like it's going to another direction. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is not going to be an easy sermon. And so I need your prayers especially, that it'll be what the Lord would have it to be today. It needs to be what God would have it to be. And as I said, we're taking a reading lesson from 2nd chapter of 2nd Thessalonians. We're going to start with verse 1. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his times." In his time, excuse me. "For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That's confusing to read, right? "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lies and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now, the love of truth there is the true word of God, the gospel of Christ. They receive not that love, and that they might be saved. "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, who had pleasure in unrighteousness." And that's reading the first 12 verses of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians for our reading lesson. Now, we're going to cover just a few verses out of this with some other things coming in. And again, I asked your prayers today. This is not the type of sermon that I like to preach. I thought at first that I was going to be preaching on the second coming of our Lord, and it will have a little bit to do about that, but not exactly that in terms. But I will ask you a question that I got asked last night. I studied this, started studying on this lesson probably Friday morning, I guess it was, and got my thoughts together. But last night I stopped to visit with an old friend, and he said, "Rick, how long do you think it's going to be before the Lord comes back?" Okay? Show of hands right quick. Could it happen today? Show of hands. It's got to wait at least 100 years. Show of hands. Oh, it's a long ways off then. Show of hands. I'm going to tell you something. I believe it could happen right now. That's what I told him last night. I do believe that it could happen right now. Now, I'm going to take another poll here. How many of you heard that the Lord could not come until, we'll say, just a certain thing happens here upon this earth, that he's not coming back till this thing happens? How many of you heard that? Not as many hands, but that's true, right? If you listen to any of the preachers, and the ones I hear are the ones that are on television and radio, and they'll start talking about this son of perdition, this Antichrist as they're talking about, and they'll say that he's going to show up, and then the Lord will come, is what they'll say. There's others who will say, well, the temple in Jerusalem has got to be rebuilt before the Lord can come back. You heard that one? Yeah, I've heard that one too. But we raised our hands and said the Lord can come back at any time, right? Now, the people of Thessalonica, Paul had written to them in the first letter that you have, 1 Thessalonians, he had written to them about the second coming of the Lord. We quote it, we read it, we study it, we tell people about it, probably more so than any other scripture as far as the second coming of the Lord. We use that a lot, don't we? Well, if you notice in verse 2, it says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Do you realize that those people in that day, they got in their minds that the Lord was fixing to come back right then? The early church itself, I believe that Peter, James, John, all of them thought, when they saw Jesus going back up into the skies, I think they thought, oh, he'll be back in a little bit. Do you think they thought that? I do. I think they thought, he'll be back in just a little bit. It's not going to be long. They probably had in their minds, well, he died 3 days later. He came out of that grave alive, and probably in 3 days he'll be back again. They may have had that in their mind. But the Lord told them, he said, you go back to Jerusalem, and you wait there for power on high that's coming to you. So they knew that it was coming a time. They just didn't know how long it was going to be. But when they started, or when they got that power from on high, what did they do? They started preaching about Jesus crucified and his resurrection, and 3,000 souls got saved, right? That's what the scripture tells us in that day. But I think they were still looking for him to come. Now, you'll notice in this reading lesson, and this is the part that is hard for me. I don't like to call names, first of all, for one thing, but it's going to, it's talking about this son of perdition that is talked about there in the third verse, but I want to pay a little more close attention to the first part of that third verse here for just a little while. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. I want us today to get into our hearts and minds that we don't need to let ourselves be deceived. I want us to get into our minds, the Lord is coming back one of these days. This, the majority of the Christian world is teaching that, yes, Jesus is coming back someday, but they're putting it down the road a little ways. I want us to let our hearts not be deceived. We need to be ready for him right now. And when I mean us being ready, I'm not talking about just the ones that are sinners in God's eyes. I'm talking about us also. We need to have our hearts right. Yes, we've been saved, but my friends today, are we living like God would have us to live? Are we acting like God would have us to act? Are we telling people about the Lord at every occasion that we have? Me, I'm guilty. I don't do it as much as I ought to. I do it from time to time. But the idea is we ought to be like the apostles was, like the early church was. We ought to be spreading the word about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and doing that. But yet he died, buried, and then rose again. And that gives us hope of a resurrection that's coming, right? So when Paul says, let your hearts not be deceived, for that day shall not come. Whoa, wait a minute. We said he could come at any time. Paul was looking for him at any time, I believe. But he had a little bit of a sense to know by the word of God and what God had revealed unto him, there were some things that was fixing to happen there in Thessalonica and around the churches in that day. He said, except there come a falling away first. We as people here in this earth today, my friend last night, he said, this world is bad out here now. I think in every one of us, if we polled every person in here, would you say that that the world is worse now than it was 5 years ago? We'd say yes. 10 years ago, how about our lifetime? It's much worse than that. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you hear people say that the world is in the worst shape that it's ever been. He says, I deny that. He said, if it was, he said, we'd have done been gone. I think as far as the days of Noah, we're not there yet. I'd say we're close though, aren't we? We are close. And we ought to act like it's close. But Paul was saying to them, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. Now, we hear people talk about this son of perdition, this man of sin, a lot these days. And they're saying that he's going to come up in one of these days, and after that, that he's going to take over the world. I've heard people say, it's President Donald Trump. Have you heard that? He may be, I don't know. I don't think so, though. I don't think so. A lot of them called Joe Biden the man of perdition. A lot of them called the president before him that he was the son of perdition. They try to bring it down to that time as who that man was, that son of perdition was. And they're going to pick out somebody else. I had somebody a few years ago, I was reading an article, and they said that the Antichrist had to be Michael Hasselhoff, I think was his name, the guy that was on, had several TV shows. And they said he had to be the man of sin because nobody that could act no better than him, how could he have so many good shows? Why are people looking at? You're talking about a man that's going to deceive. He's not just going to act. He's going to deceive everybody he possibly can. If you read these scriptures, he said he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now I'm going to tell you something. There is a group of people out there today that is exalting themselves above all that is God. They have. They've been doing it for thousands of years. And they came into this existence years ago, thousands of years ago, is what I would say. But the idea I want you to understand is this guy has already showed up. You don't have to wait for him. Now, I realize that's not what the popular trend in talking about this man is. The popular trend, he hadn't showed up yet, but he's done been here. And he's not a he. It's an it. And when I say an it, I don't mean like an animal. I don't mean like somebody that's that's something that's off the ball. I'm talking about an organization that's out there. But it stands up against God. It stands up against His church. And in the early days, it persecuted His church. Now listen to what he says about this, that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Many people today take this word temple here to mean that it is the temple that they're going to build in Jerusalem. That thing has done been broke down, gone. You got a mosque on top of where it sits. It's not there. But the temple that he sits in is, what are we today? It's inside of the church itself. And where this man of perdition came from is out of the church itself. Whoa, wait a minute. Out of the church itself? You find in the scriptures, and if I can turn to it right quickly here, what the scripture tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words, because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's not the verse I wanted, though, to read to you today. But the idea that I want you to have in your mind is that the scripture teaches that this has come about already. And because it's already come out already, I want you to understand the Lord can come back today. You don't have to wait for another time for Him to come. You have to just understand He can come. He says here in our reading lesson today, he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul had already preached to the church of Thessalonica about this man of perdition, about this group of people that would come. And he says, now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. As I said, that verse is hard to understand. But then that day the church was opposed by a group of people called the Jewish nation. Now it was understandable. It came out of them. And they opposed them greatly in that day. And I'm not saying that the Jewish people are that son of perdition. Don't get me wrong here. But there was a group that held down the persecution of the early church. You might say, well, I thought they were persecuted greatly. Wasn't Paul beheaded? Wasn't the disciples killed, every one of them but John? Were they not killed in such a way? Were they not persecuted? Yes, they were. But there came a time when that the church was truly persecuted to the greatest extent, more than we realize today. You know that there was better than a million of our brothers and sisters that were assassinated, you might say. They were killed for preaching, for testifying, for praying, for singing this stuff that we talk about today. Now, when you start to look at this, he says, for the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, as I said, that verse, when you first look at it, is hard to understand. But what it means is there's something standing in the way of this son of perdition coming. This group that's going to be the one that's going to stand in the temple of God. He said, I think most people would get in their minds that God is the one that's standing in the way. But if you really go back and look at the history of all of these things, what you understand is that there was a Roman nation. Remember them? They were in charge when Jesus came into this world. The Roman nation was in charge when the church was constituted, when it started to flourish there in Jerusalem. That group, that Roman nation, but it came to a place where it just basically dissolved as a mighty nation, you might say. The Caesars that were in place in those days, yeah, they persecuted the church. But there came a group that came out of them. And that group of people came to a place and they exalted themselves. And what the scripture says here, that he exalted himself as God. Now I realize this message is hard for a lot of people to hear. But those people went in and they constituted and put a man on a throne in what they called a church, a temple, if you would. And he became supreme. He was called God in that place. I'm not going to call him by name, I don't think, today. But you can understand what I'm talking about today. This man got on the throne there, and what I've read about him, even the kings bowed down to him. The kings of the earth in those days. He held them in bondage to a certain extent. And when the church preached against him, you know what he did? He sent out men against them. And they slew the men and women of the church. They burned their houses. They burned their churches that they had. And according to what we find in history, this group of people slew thousands of our people in those days. They put them in hiding in places, in the mountains, in places like that. You say, well, the church has always been here. Yes, it has, but sometimes it's been in hiding. My understanding that you can go over into China and you can find the church hiding over there now because of the hierarchy of the Chinese people, the leaders of them. They believe in communism. They say there's no God. And because that the church is preaching God and Jesus and him dying and being crucified, they persecute them to the highest fulfillment that they possibly can, is what they do. Now, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lines and wonders. Now, many people will say, well, these people today, they only have physical powers. How many of you have watched some of these people get on television and pop them in the head, say they're healed? How many of you saw individuals that try to preach the gospel, as they say? They'll say they're preaching Jesus, but they're deceiving individuals. Now, what Jesus said in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and let me back up to this chapter just a minute here. A lot of people will start this chapter and they'll say, it's all about Jesus coming the first time. And how many of you has ever heard the statement, well, there's going to be rumors of war and there'll be wars in every place in that place. There'll be earthquakes, there'll be storms. And these are signs of his coming is what they'll tell you. Remember the question that he asked here on the beginning. The question that Jesus asked, and this was as the result of Jesus saying, there will not be one stone of the temple left on top of another. And the disciples asked him, said, what shall be the signs of these things? What was he talking about? The temple. Then they say, and. That's a conjunction. And he said, and thy coming. They knew he was, he'd already told them he's going to die, he's going to resurrect, and that he was coming back. But it still didn't sink into their head, but they were still saying, and thy coming in this. So in the first several verses here, he talks about the kingdom of God and the afflictions that it would have there in Jerusalem. And many people will go down here to the 15th verse and they'll say, "And ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains." If this is talking about when Jesus is coming, why is he telling the people in Judah to flee into the mountains? When Jesus comes back, what's going to happen? The Bible says that the heavens will depart. There'll be a great shout. The trumpet of God will sound. And they which are in the graves will burst open and they'll all come out. And he says, what Paul said in Thessalonians was this, "And we which remain shall be called up and to meet him in the air." Why are the ones in Judah going to have to flee? I ain't got anybody to answer that question. If the Lord's coming back, why are they in having to get out? It talks about that they'll flee into the mountains. They'll go into them and they'll hide there. But it also says down here, if it was not for the elect's sake, let me back up verse 24. And it says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." There's going to be people that's coming about, and they're going to deceive everybody they possibly can. That's what Jesus was telling them. Truthfully, that's what this message is for you today. There's coming a time when somebody's going to try to deceive you. Now, what I want you to understand today is, especially for our young ones that are saved today, I want you to hold on to this old truth. You need to hold on to this. For you young boys, I want you to listen to me now. There's going to come a young lady in your life one of these days, and she's going to tell you, it doesn't make any difference what church you go to. It's not going to make a bit of difference if you go to a Baptist or to a Church of Christ or to a Methodist, pardon me for calling names, but that's what they do. And they'll say, even a non-denominational, it doesn't make any difference is what they'll say. But if they're not preaching the whole counsel of that word right there, and I want you to understand something, young ones, not everybody that claims to be a church is a church. They're part of that perdition, that group of people. They're descendants of them. They're daughters of them is what they are. And they'll teach you a false doctrine is what they'll do. They'll teach you something that basically it'll sound good to your heart and to your eyes, and it'll feel good when you're out there. They'll have you so excited about doing certain things that you forget about the soul. And you may say, well, it won't make any difference. I'm saved. What about your spouse? What about that little girl, little boy? If you marry them, what about your children? Be not deceived by these, is what I'm trying to tell you. There is coming a time when that you need to realize the truth is the truth. And Satan has planted his churches. I'm sorry, but he's planted his churches. Why would Satan do that? I think you'll find in the Bible where it says that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. And so have his demons, you might say, his messengers. They transport themselves. They make themselves to look like one of them. This message has not been exactly what I wanted it to be. But I pray it's been what God would have it to be. Now, let's get back to the latter times. 1 Timothy 4th chapter is where I'm going. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I'm sorry if you don't like this message today, personally. Personally, I'm sorry if you don't like this message or this thought today. But I want us to realize if we do not hold to the truth, that son of perdition is going to grab us. Or he may not get us that are saved, but he may get your children. If he doesn't get your children, he may get your grandchildren. And if he doesn't get your grandchildren, he may get your great-grandchildren. All it takes is one generation of people to slide away from the truth. And what I mean by one generation, if your father said it does not make any difference whether you go to a true church or not, or I can just go part of the time, your children will do more. If the mother says it doesn't make any difference where we go, where will your children go? You see, I don't want us to allow our children to be deceived. I don't want us to be deceived. That son of perdition is already out there. I want you to understand that. That spirit of Antichrist, you go over to 1 John, the 4th chapter, he says it's already in this world. That was in John's day. And he's still here today and probably got more power than he had then. Brother Fabian, that's going to be my message today. I pray you got something out of it. I pray that we will do our best to make sure that our sons and daughters stay in the faith. If they're not in the faith, let me say this. I talked about the young man that Paula had a prayer request for. His wife was saved. You know, when he died the other day, he left not a testimony of being saved. She lives not far from here. We invited them to come to church when we came down here. Maybe I should have followed up more, I'll say that. But if you know somebody that was raised up in this way and is saved, we need to try to get them in this house for their children's sake. We have invited since. It's up to them. But let's be prayerful that our sons and daughters may come into this way. That their sons and daughters, their spouses, might be saved. That's going to be our message, Brother Fabian, while we stand and sing.
If you need to be prepared for Jesus' coming, then
amen.
Come and seek Him. Sing number 235.
If you're here today and lost, it's a good day to find Him, in other words. While we stand and sing.